Om, that is the whole. This is the whole. From wholeness emerges wholeness. Wholeness coming from wholeness. Wholeness still remains. That's for you who don't get Sanskrit, like me. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And if you've got insomnia in some strange time zone, we hope you get over it. You're listening to the Psychic Choice Radio Network, Something for Saturday show, with your host, which would be him then. Ken seems to be busy doing something else, so we'll get round to everybody eventually. And basically, the number to call in on is 646-668. I'll say that again. 646-668-8735. And we're here for the next hour and 55 minutes doing what we usually do. And if you'd listened to previous shows, you'd know what we usually do, because we're doing the same again. So, there we go. I'll get on with it then. As long as I just make sure I check my mic. Yeah, it's on. It's on. It's on. So I'm breaking these teeth in for a horse. Hello.
Hey, Alan. Hi, sweetie. It's Helena. Hey.
Yeah, I know.
Two quickies. I'm in the middle of doing something that I can't tell you what I'm doing, but I just want to make sure it's going to be okay. I can't, like, give any more information about it, but because somebody asked me to do a favor. And it's a little bit of a sticky favor. Pardon?
It gets you a feather.
Okay, but everybody involved in it is safe. That's my concern.
It will be. They will be, but it gets you a feather.
Okay. All right. Well, feather's good, but taking care of everybody comes first before that. Okay, good.
It's a night owl feather.
Meaning? What do you mean? A night owl feather.
A night owl feather. A night owl feather.
What's the
significance? Owl moves silently through the darkness.
That's what I'm doing.
Finding its own way. Listening and being attentive. Aware of things in its own strange way. Because it's not so much sight with owl, it's more about hearing. And sight comes into it as well. But it moves quietly, silently. You don't know it's there. And it's more than capable of looking after itself.
Okay, but my thing is I'm just concerned about anybody else involved, for everybody else's safety.
I am sure they will be fine.
Okay, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. They have one other question. Rather than taking all your time and calling in all the time, which
I do. Sure, you're the only one in the queue. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Well,
they're mornings. Hey. We get them occasionally.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, people, Saturday, believe me, trust me, I just finished my show. I got one pledge for what I did, you know, for my DVD, for the radio station. So people don't get up on Saturday. They like to sleep in sometimes here in the States. So, and New York's the latest one, and then, you know, progressively earlier, you know, as you go across. So, the other question then is about that. Basically, Tony at the radio station afforded me the use of the intern to work with her. And now I think he expected this premium to bring in, you know, donations for the station, and it's not. And I'm thinking, is it just the bigger picture? Yeah. Do you think it will? Or is it just the bigger picture where Creator and Spirit, whoever's in charge, wanted this done? And
no,
this
look,
clearly
there's,
is not.
Spiritually, there is no such thing as a payback. But Spirit is not that stupid to misunderstand human beings. We need certain things to survive. And in our wonderful warped stupidity, we've come up with this crazy idea called currency. and banking and money. And we've built our entire civilization around that. Why? Don't know. But everyone thinks it's a wonderful idea. And we're so preoccupied with it, we can't be bothered to think of a better system. So obviously, much to their sort of, well, they just don't get it, but there you go. They have to work with that. You know? So I've always said you're going to be rich and famous. Now, obviously, that is a matter of perception. But you've got, it's about being able to pay your own way, and because you need to be able to make your own choices rather than just having to go with, like, a feather in the wind, you know? So the pledges will come in once word gets out.
Well,
it will. This is big. It's always been big. I'm either totally wrong and totally crazy, or I'm right and it makes a big difference. You know?
Okay.
So it will come.
Well,
in.
I'm not looking. All right. Well, the money's not for me. I mean, it's for the station.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And I would never put this up for sale. I mean, what I'm hoping, if anything, it may get me grants or something like that, you know, the work and just bring, and the bottom line is to bring out the information for Mother Earth. I never saw it like, I guess I'm really twisted because I hate the word monetize this. It's never been about that.
No.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's
delightful for some other way.
Yeah, but it's coming out at the right time because it's holy next weekend, which is the big Hindu harvest springtime celebration, the agriculture natural world celebration.
Oh,
then
you
got
St.
Patrick's Day after that.
Yeah.
Which is all about everything goes green. All right, I'm stretching the point there a bit. But Bridget is going to be kicking ass on next Friday anyway. Friday after.
The Friday after that, yeah.
Yeah.
Bridget gets involved with St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Bridget and St. Patrick are very closely intertwined in the old legends.
Oh, that I didn't know
that. Bridget is a carryover from the old Celtic pagan ones.
Oh yeah, that for sure.
There's a lot of Irish Catholics who believe Bridget was the old Celtic queen deity reincarnated, but just don't tell the priest. So there's an awful lot. I mean, Bridget of Kildare, which was a Celtic princess before she was converted. And she converted because, well, she didn't convert. She was a Christian with very strong beliefs, and she gave her father's sword and cloak to a beggar, which drove him to distraction. And he sort of said, okay, you can join the convent, but just keep your hands off my stuff. But she was active at the same time as Patrick. Historical contemporaries. So she always gets in on St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day is usually a day off for me because I just can't stand the energy. Because she's been on the gin since about half past 3 in the morning.
I didn't know that. I have a karaoke night I'm hosting that night, so that should be fun.
No, that'll be wonderful. It's worked out. There's a show on the Friday. There's a show on Sunday for Holi as well, so it's all coming out. That is looking like a mega week.
Oh, way cool. So wait, now what's the Hindu celebration? It's next week or the week after?
The 12th. It starts on the 12th. So it's next
week. I didn't know about that one.
It's the one where they all throw colours at each other. Everyone gets rainbowed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta check it out at the temple here.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's literally the streets run with colour. Because everyone gets food dye and food colouring. And water pistols. And then you just throw colours at everybody, then chuck a bucket of water over them. And everyone just ends up literally coloured. It's amazing. Some of the pictures you see are amazing.
I didn't know about that one. I'm too cold for that, though, but, well, I don't want to get wet.
Well, yeah, it's not, it's just, you know, in Chennai or Mumbai, it's a bit warmer when someone throws a bucket of water over you.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, New York in March. I can see that getting a bit sort of, what the hell? Yeah.
Although I felt like in England. Yeah.
Oh, it's
three,
yeah.
I felt like England here last week. Three seasons in a day. You know, it's like 60 and goes down to 30, and it's crazy. Really different weather, like you guys.
Yeah, we've had a couple of strange days. It's balancing out now.
Not good.
So, yeah.
Back to cold here. Mm. All right. Well, that's good. Because, I'm up to a little bit of mischief. None of my own making. Somebody else asked me to do something. That was the first thing. And I'm just worried about consequences for anybody else.
No. But, no, I'm sure there will not be any consequences. I mean, night owl, but I can easily change it to a stealth bomber if you want.
No, don't. I like the owl better. Much better. Much better.
Right. I'm sure you know what a stealth bomber.
I've heard of them, but no, I don't. No bombs. No bombs. Have an uncle who was a retired bomb maker, and it's like, why'd you waste your intelligence on that?
Was he wounded in World War II or Korea?
He was in Korea, and I don't think so, but I don't know for sure.
It's just when I was doing my meditation, I was aware of someone around who made me aware of Air Force thing. But also wounded in a war, not seriously. And your uncle, a very sort of jovial person.
He likes to drink. I guess he would be jovial.
I was going to say avuncular.
I forgot what that means.
Well, it means friendly, loud, sort of jokey, sort of.
Yeah. Like,
I suppose probably after he'd had a drink.
His friends really like him. He loves his family, but it's, I don't know, there's a lot of, so much prejudice there. It makes me crazy. I know he doesn't make him a bad person. He's a good person, but it's just crazy, the ideals and what they think is right and true and good, and it's a little scary, frankly.
Well, yeah, but when we're in a different place, we suddenly get different ideas.
Oh, this one's on this side, but I have several other uncles that were in which war? World War II and Korea.
I've got somebody over there, World War II, wounded, not seriously.
Then that would have been Mike or George. And George was extremely jovial and short and fat.
Yeah.
Very jovial.
Wounded a leg, sort of bottom half of his body wound, whereas the other one was the top half of his body wound.
Not sure, but I do vaguely remember, I think he had an injury.
A very slight limp.
No, he didn't.
He wouldn't chase after the children. He'd walk, but he'd catch them because he wouldn't give up. Or he'd bribe them to come back. It's that sort of personality.
Well, very good with children. Very good.
Yeah.
Never
but I think I'm going. Well, I think I'm going back with this because these are early memories. I think he passed when you were quite young.
No.
Or
no.
One of them did.
No.
All right.
No, they stayed around. George lived into his 90s.
I don't know who this is then, Helena, because they're not coming forward. They're not giving me a lot of information because I'm feeling there's not a lot to give.
Okay.
So it could even be a friend of, I mean, George feels right, but.
Yeah. So we say jovial, this guy definitely was.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe it's somebody he knew or somebody like his brother-in-law's or something like that. It could have been, you know, which I didn't know. Is he doing well?
Yeah. I've also got, I mean, there's this thing about radio silence. And, I mean, I said, do you want a stealth bomber? I can do you a squadron of B-52s now.
No.
So whatever your mission is, we got there eventually. Whatever your mission is, just know that you've got aerial support.
This is good to know. This is very good to know.
Yeah. I'm not counting them. There's too many. This is one of them things you only see in the movies. With CGI.
Or, you know? Or in your mind's eye.
Yeah. But, I'm sure your mission will be accomplished. Whatever it is.
Oh, good.
I'm not asking.
Okay. Yeah, I can't tell, but
no.
Yeah, good. Oh, is your call queue still waiting to be filled?
No, it's still empty. Still empty.
Oh, good.
If it's still empty another 10 minutes, I'm going to call it a day and do something else.
It won't be. Either that or start playing in a Gata DeVita for 17 minutes.
Well, I've deleted that one.
Oh, you have, huh?
Yeah.
What you opened with was very beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what, if I may, with the radio station, it's definitely doing much better now that Tony's here. You told Bertol to put Tony in.
Yeah.
So the money's starting to come in. You know, they're not out of the woods by a long shot, but things are really looking up, positive vibrations. And there is a new executive director. I think it's an interim executive director. Could that be the new management, or do you still feel like it's going to be a bigger change than that? This is still inside the same group of the same network.
A long time ago, like I said, it was the first show I did.
Yeah, the first time. Yeah. Yep. You said.
I had this, as you know, I had this crazy idea about it seemed somebody wanted to buy into the show but maintain editorial independence because that person had a thing about wanting straightforward, honest, both sides of the argument, balanced reporting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And way back then, when we were talking about easily 18 months now, it didn't seem so important then.
Yeah.
But now it
does. But this is, it's crazy important. It was about a year, not 18 months.
Yeah, about a year. I mean, but that, who's it? Amazon, Jeff Bezos, he's taken over the newspaper, you know?
Mm.
So people are going to take the other side of the argument, which is, it's not about controlling them. Information sets us free. The truth sets us free. We know
to
make informed decisions. Well, it's giving people a basis of somewhere they can trust. You know? It's like the BBC has got this wonderful name worldwide for being trustworthy. I mean, say what you like about it. It's got, there's points for and points against it. It does try to maintain the balance.
Oh, I do like it. I do like the BBC.
Yeah. And it's that sort of idea I felt would come in.
Mm-hmm.
Round this. And it would,
it's
round this time of year as well. So it's all going ahead in its own little way.
Mm.
I'm glad that the station's getting more financially secure because that helps. It shows somebody they're not just buying a dead duck to throw their money at. This is something that could actually be self-sufficient, self-supported, which is even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you've got an organization that's generating its own income, doing what it does, it can't be accused of being in someone's pocket. So we are getting there.
So you're feeling still somebody else is going to come in?
Yeah.
Okay.
That consolidation of editorial independence, and this, you can trust what we're saying, people, because this is both sides of the argument. This is our balanced view.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that we always
these are
get
the
both
facts.
Sides. Yeah.
Well, there's always a way of presenting the facts with a balanced opinion. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, I do agree. I mean, years ago in the States, you had to put both sides of an argument on, and I don't know, for some reason that law rule got changed, and that's how we got all these crazy pundits, you know, like people like Rush Limbaugh and things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the important thing is to present the facts.
Yeah.
Not what you think are the facts, or what you think the facts should be. That's the problem.
To my mind.
The closest I've got to listening to Rush Limbaugh was an episode of Family Guy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's well put. Yeah. That fits. That totally fits.
Yeah. Brian the dog had a brainstorm and decided to become a right-wing Republican and moved in with Rush Limbaugh. Which gave me the sort of general idea of it. I thought, yeah, right, fine.
Yeah, you had enough. Yeah, beginning, middle, end. Why bother for more?
For some strange reason, I always identified with Brian the dog.
Did you? I like that little baby, the little nerd. But I like, yeah, I guess I like the dog and the little baby the most.
Oh, Stewie.
Yeah. Oh, you really know these characters? Yeah.
Stewie was just whoever thought that character up. Totally inspired. I mean, something like, what, 14, 15 month year old baby that's got to take over the world complex and actually did it. That was amazing. That is crazy.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see things like on the upswing here. It really is.
I'm glad.
Yeah. And am I going to get any pushback for like getting only one pledge for them though this morning? Like, I think Tony thinks I'm a wimp.
No, everybody appreciates its early days.
I don't know about that.
Oh, come on. Look, Buffalo shit takes its time to soak in.
spring
does not arrive overnight. Just because the cherry blossom comes out in one evening doesn't mean to say that's spring. There's other things to follow on. You know? I don't feel any problems at all with, you know, one pledge. I mean, if they tell a friend, that's two pledges. Then if they both tell a friend, that's four pledges. Then eight. It's soon built up.
Yeah, but no, they really do judge people by the amount of money that you bring in on your show. I mean, I have told them that, you know, the time I'm on doesn't necessarily allow that.
Exactly.
And I haven't been able to build an audience. I really haven't. Even when I've asked them to do some things. Oh, hang on, I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone. Give me 5 more minutes. I'm not with Bertolt. Okay. This is part of the mischief.
Right, fair enough.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, I feel bad. It's like I have a rough time lying to anybody or even, like, little things. It's like,
You should never actually lie, but that doesn't mean to say everyone has to know everything.
Exactly.
That's why I do.
Exactly.
That's why I do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's true, but still, I mean, the way you do it, you're pretty honest. The way other people have done it to me, especially the big issue, is it's not saying everything, but it is being skunky. You're not skunky. You know, clearly, if you have private issues, not issues, but privacy, you have privacy. And when you speak, it's, I don't know, I feel there's a difference. The people can take that a little far sometimes. Everyone doesn't have to know everything, but sometimes there are things that people hide or are skunky about that's not cool.
Well,
but, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of presses buttons.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe I should get on with my little old deed here.
All right.
Oh, actually, may I ask you one more thing?
Go on, then.
Do you feel it would be good and in my best interest, the highest and best interest, for me to go to D.C. on the 10th for March? I have to see if financially if I can swing it and all that, but or maybe
if,
not go.
If you can walk there on, if you can get there on a red carpet, if it looks like there's a red carpet been laid out for you, then go.
Well, I don't know about any red carpet.
I'll rephrase that. If you know the battle is over, right? Then there's,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you can go.
Well, the battle's not over. This is part of it. This is everyone.
Well,
going
I know,
there to
it's,
march.
But it was always. You're not going to take any part in the battle.
Yeah, but this is like another. You know, it's another stand, sort of. I hate to use the word protest because it's not a protest. It's more standing for water rights and native rights. Yeah. I just don't know if it's worth my while to go because it's a lot of energy and money.
Yeah. I'm not getting any need for you to not go.
Okay. All right. So it's just like one of those things.
Yeah, it is. It's just one of those things.
Okay. All right. Oh, big hug, Alan. You're always so helpful and so good.
You're welcome.
And entertaining, too. Okay.
Well, I'll work on that.
No, you are.
Yeah.
All right. You know, it's so funny. I'm sitting here in the boss's office, and it's really weird the way things happen. I sold him my desk that I used to have, and so I'm sitting here in the boss's office at my old desk. It's just a really funny thing.
Well, at least you can put your feet up on it without anyone, because it was your old desk.
Yeah.
No one will notice a few more marks because it's your shoes.
Yeah, no, actually, it's a nice old IKEA desk, but it's a big one. It's really nice. He's using the space much more wisely than I did.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you again. I hope you have a lovely afternoon and evening.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a good afternoon because I'm going to wander off in a minute unless somebody else calls in.
Oh, play day. Yeah.
The way I look at it is upstairs brings us the listeners and the callers to help them. But every so often, there's got to be a time when upstairs just thinks, no, have a lie in. Shut up. Leave him alone. Thank you.
Except for me.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, the idea is to do a show, but there's no one here. I'm not going to flog myself to death.
No?
Mm. I shall just do what I do. Okay?
Good. You're making good. Yeah. You're actually making sense of what I'm going through with the pledges, like not flog myself to death. That's just it. That's okay.
You can only do what you can do with what you've got at the time.
Yep.
So,
yep, yep, yep.
That's all. Put you back on hold.
All righty.
All right, darling.
You take care.
And
be
you.
Well.
Talk to you soon. Okay,
thank
then.
You.
Bye then.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, 646-668-8735. Eva Cassidy there. Fields of Gold. Hi.
Hi, Alan. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How can I help?
I have a quick question. I was supposed to meet up with a friend, and we've been trying to meet up, an Irish gentleman, for about a month. But his job, he would say, I have this Thursday, we'll meet this Thursday. But then they took the day away from him, and they give it away to somebody else. And I'm just wondering if this really did happen, or if he just doesn't, making excuses.
No, I think it happened, Karen.
Oh, it did happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think he will he will insist on having the day next time. And quickly.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I felt you and him would meet up around this time, so I'm pretty certain I think he's been honest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know it keeps happening, but I know it keeps happening, but I'm certain he's as annoyed about it as you are.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to say which one of you is more annoyed, you or him.
Yeah, he said he was going to go to the upper level management, because he says he sees a pattern and they keep giving it to a certain female person over him. And he says, I don't know why this happens, but I'm at the point where I'm going to go to discuss it to upper line manager, because I can't take any time off. And I said, oh, okay, you know, so I don't know if eventually he'll go that route, but possibly seems
if he threatens that route, mm-hmm. I think they will his supervisor, his immediate line manager, will cave in, because it's obvious that your friend is getting, well, he's not getting treated appropriately. There's something going on. It's obvious, you know, so it will stop.
Okay.
I know he's busy. Yes, I know he's got an important role, but we're all allowed time off. We earn it. You know? He's not asking for anything that he shouldn't be given. You know? So, I'm sure this will get sorted out.
Okay.
Well, but I said the same thing last time, it would get sorted out. And if he's talking about taking it further, then that might be the way it gets resolved.
Yeah. Okay.
So just hang in there.
Yeah, he'll call me back tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of also told him that I was also concerned about his situation. But, you know, I really can't talk. I can't do anything right now to get a roommate or anything like that. But I just kind of told him I was agitated with his situation. He said, okay, well, we'll talk when I see you. But then this happened, so then I guess I shouldn't rush anything. You know, just take everything kind of slow, the way it's been going, and just see where things lead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It'll be fine.
Okay. And I also wanted to tell you also that my sister, I had offered to help her stay at a hotel regarding her court case, but she my mother thought it was a good idea, a friend of mine thought it was a good idea, but she refused my help. She said she doesn't, her and I don't usually see eye to eye, but she said, your help's not needed. I don't need any help. I'll make it there by myself, and that'll be it. So I said, well, okay. So she has refused all assistance from me, so I just pulled back and let her do her own thing.
Well, that's all you can do, but I always felt she would get there, Karen, if that's any help.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So if there's a parking lot just over the road from the courthouse, I can live with that one too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she
drives. I mean, within five or 6 minutes walk, I'm sure she makes it.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah.
I just saw her walking down the street to the courthouse. So I know she gets there.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's a parking lot just behind the hotel, if the hotel's on the road and the parking lot's one street behind, you know, on the block, on the same block sort of thing, then that'll still work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she could possibly park at a hotel. There's a lot of hotels near the courthouse with parking lots, so she could possibly park in there too. Just keep that in her mind too and say, oh, there's a spot. Yeah, so that's a possibility as well. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes too. You know, you can always
I felt, like I say, I never change a thing, as you know, and I felt it went well. So let's wait and see how it works out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Okay, Alan. Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Karen. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, then. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, this is getting a bit... And we'll see how things work out after this.
Bargo de vaciar mi madre.
Hello, 203.
Hey, Alan.
Hi, Pat.
How are you? Hi.
I'm quiet fine, thanks. Pardon?
Good. It's quiet today?
Very.
Okay. You know, if I can give an opinion, you are so incredibly knowledgeable. If it ever gets too quiet, I would love to just hear you talk about anything.
Yeah, you're not the first one who said that.
I mean it. I'm just,
it's not
going to
happen.
You know, I mean, what did you say? It's not going to happen?
It's not going to happen, no.
That's too bad, because not only are you so knowledgeable about so many things, the way you talk it's very, very interesting. Anyway.
Well, maybe if I can ever get my head round it, Pat, maybe I'll get a bravery injection or something like that, or whatever.
You should
take it from there.
Get feedback from your friends like Ron Duffy and Ken. And honestly, I mean, it's just I'm always captivated by what you have to say, and always amazed at your range of knowledge, your education. Is incredible. But since it was quiet and you said it sounded like maybe you were going to end the show, would you do that?
Well, I mean, it's really quiet. You're the only one in the queue. I played three tracks of music, and like I said to Helena, I'm not going to flog a dead horse. You know, some days it just doesn't work. I don't take it personally. I don't worry about it. I know the next time there'll be plenty of people there.
Right. Yeah. But don't you think people are listening anyway?
They probably are. They probably are.
Yeah.
But the whole
okay.
thing, the whole point of the show is it's a talk show. And if you've got long periods of silence, like we just had, because I forgot to put my microphone back on again, it makes for pretty boring listening. And it's not a really a music show. And I'm not sitting here, I'm not prepared to sit here at the moment giving a lecture. This is how it feels right now. Or
yeah,
how it would
okay.
feel. So I'm not
yeah.
quite prepared for that one yet. But if it happens, it happens. I mean, I make a joke of it. You're not the first one who's mentioned it. It's something that I am thinking about.
Okay.
It's just
well,
getting the nudge to do it.
Yeah.
I don't like this term channeling. To me, it's rather vague and rather sort of, well, precocious is the word. But sometimes thoughts come into my head and form a stream, and I just let the stream flow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm okay. I figured I'd call since it was quiet. I could ask you about other things, but what
yeah.
did pop into my mind is, well, as a joke, I wanted to ask you, do you have any advice on what I should wear to my interview today?
Well, clothes, basically. you'll stand out from
if
the others.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So you remember what I told you about them? Okay.
I wouldn't dress up, but I wouldn't
dress down. No.
My advice would be to wear whatever you feel comfortable in that shows you as you who you are, how
right.
you are.
No, yeah, I was just joking. I don't
mm-hmm.
have much of a wardrobe anyway. I'll pretty much probably wear something a little better than what I usually clean in.
Yeah.
So I thought I could ask you about friends and family members who are ill or ask about their health. My brother-in-law, Lori, has been suffering with Parkinson's. They spent quite a while trying to figure out what type and what's going on.
Yeah.
I am not really close to my family.
No.
Unfortunately, with regret. But, I mean, I did it on my own because of the way I was treated. But I keep a, polite relationship
yeah.
going. How do you see him doing?
I think he's got the type that is controllable with medication. But there comes a point when I think he can control it with medication for a while.
Yeah.
But then it becomes the dose of the medication becomes just as big a problem as the actual Parkinson's.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
I don't feel he's got... I feel he's going to live a long life. I don't see this cutting his life short. But I do see him being very debilitated towards the end. Which is a shame.
This is really tough. He was involved in computers so long ago that the first computer I ever saw was as tall as the room we were in.
Yeah.
That's been his life. And he's been a very, very kind man. And he and my sister sailed around the world for 5 years.
Yeah.
An avid reader, and he's lost everything that he can do, the computer, reading, there's nothing he can do. My sister's dragging him off to dance classes to keep his body moving, and I just wonder how much is he suffering inside mentally because of this. Maybe I shouldn't even ask that.
The thing with Parkinson's is it doesn't change our thinking.
Right.
It doesn't change our conception or awareness.
Yeah.
We still know exactly who we are, but we're unable to be as physically controlled as we used to be. He's trying to be objective about it, and I mean, anything like that, there's good days and bad days.
Yeah.
He's very concerned and very worried about the future.
Yeah.
He's putting a brave face on it.
Yeah.
Well, I can, like anybody else, would be scared.
Yeah. Yeah. His father died of Parkinson's, and his whole life he'd actually been terrified of getting it himself.
Yeah.
From what his father went through, so it's tough. So I just wrote a card the other day and decided maybe I can just send cards occasionally since it's awkward, but I don't want to. I want to show some caring. Maybe that'll be acceptable.
Well, he's your brother. You can acknowledge him in any way you want.
He's my brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, the last time, not meaning to hurt me, he was out at my son's wedding, and he said this before, basically get your life together. You know, so they're not people that understand me, and they hurt me a lot without meaning to. At least,
well,
he does.
There are many levels of karma, and it seems a little bit strange that as your life, you're talking about your brother-in-law and what he said about getting your life together, as his seems to be falling apart, and you are slowly getting yours back together. No?
Well, not in a way that he would ever deem viable.
Well, it's what is viable and what you deem viable. It's your life.
Right.
Yeah. And as harsh as that sounds, and it is harsh because it's a universal law. It's literally flint in your hand. If you squeeze it, it will make you bleed. But that doesn't mean to say it's not caring or understanding.
What do you mean by that? Could you explain what you just said?
Yeah. Sometimes there is this saying, the truth hurts.
Right.
And sometimes, basically, our life is our own. We take responsibility for our own life. And in many ways, we are the cause of our own life. Now, I'm saying in many ways, do not apply them all to you. Right?
Yeah.
Because right now, you can't absolutely take responsibility for your life because you haven't got the means to do it, right?
Yeah.
But those means of you being able to take responsibility for your life are coming. They are being given to you, right? But it's like somebody's put a piece of sharp flint in your hand, and they're saying squeeze it and make a wish. So as you squeeze on the stone, because flint's got sharp edges, it cuts your palm a little bit, so it makes you bleed.
Right.
So it may seem cold and uncaring, but it's not. It's giving you what you have always wanted, which is you want Pat back.
Right.
You want Pat back so Pat can face the world with Pat's head held high.
Right.
Now, anybody should wish that for another person. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of that person's being or life are, as long as that person feels worthy of themselves. Because that's what it's all about. Yeah. I know there's plenty of people out there like your brother-in-law. They're probably in the majority, which is a shame. But they're wrong. We can only take responsibility for what we can have control over.
What is he wrong about?
He's wrong about saying get your life back in order, because you can only take responsibility for things you have control of. And for many years, you've not had total control of your life. You've been unable to face it. That doesn't make you a bad person or an invalid or crazy. It makes you in need of help. That's all. Help you've never found.
This man is very, very, very kind and has raised beautiful, beautiful children. His wife, my sister, is a different story.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he takes the same stance against me with all his kindness.
Because he doesn't understand. He doesn't. Every time he's felt down, he's pulled himself out of it. Every time he's felt depressed or something, he's never gone into it. He's suppressed it.
Right.
He's not worked. He's not acknowledged it. He's literally worked his way out of it or distracted himself out of it. He doesn't understand what depression is, and many people don't. They think it's a case of, oh, snap out of it. Pull yourself together. Oh, come on. They've never been there. They don't get it. There's many doctors out there who don't get it.
Well, I don't even get it that much, I guess, because of the family I was raised in.
Yeah.
I mean, when I got sick, the doctor told my father to stay in Canada that I was faking. I don't think I even allow myself the reality of depression. I feel like a failure that I should get myself out of it.
I've never met a depressed person who wanted to be depressed.
Yeah.
I've never met a depressed person who wanted to be depressing on others.
Yeah.
I've never met a depressed person who, if they had the means to get to sort their depression out, wouldn't take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've never met a depressed person I didn't want to help. But I don't want to patronize them.
Right.
I just want to hold their hand and say, look, I sort of get it. I've more or less been there myself. But I'm not there anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk to you. I want to listen to you.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you've got to say. I want to let you know you're valued, or I value you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
it's
all about, to me, it's all about self-empowerment and self-knowledge and self-belief. Now, that's the Buddhist in me. And that can be vicious, but it's not meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's all about our own perceptions and conceptions, But I also understand, as a biologist, sometimes the brain ain't working right.
Yeah.
And that's where medication comes in. But then the medication we use is just as bad sometimes as the illness, if not worse.
Yeah. Yes.
And you get into this screaming vortex of medication and depression and anxiety, and it's impossible to break out of.
Yeah.
And the progress you have made is to me is absolutely, well, I'm gobsmacked.
Absolutely what?
Gobsmacked. The American expression would be punched in the face with surprise.
Oh.
No, it's an English expression.
Could you spell it? I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, G-O-B, smacked.
Okay. Okay, I'll ask you about my friend Joan, who's in her 80s. I just got an email from her. She was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. She continues to have bladder infections. Now she's in with something else. I'm concerned about her. Her sister died and left her in charge of her severely schizophrenic son.
Right.
I think she's staying alive just to take care of him. Her son is in California. She's very independent. I never hear that she's been in the hospital till after she's home. You know, I can never do anything to help her. But I love her. How do you see her going?
I see her carrying on as she is, mostly healthy.
Okay.
Until it's time for her to go.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, she's okay. I mean, I look at your mother. I look at your friend and I see my mother, who's 93 and going strong. And she just takes whatever's thrown at her.
Well, that's great. Yeah, so does this woman. It's incredible. Huh. Okay. My sister in Brent, close to me, again, same type of situation, try to be cordial.
Mm.
It's very treacherous if I hope for anything more. You said you liked her. She's a really, really nice person, but just doesn't have any patience for me.
She doesn't get, like I said, Pat, she doesn't get it, which is unfortunate. But but I honestly feel as you improve, and I haven't got a word for you as you get on with it. I'm more comfortable saying as you get on with it than anything else. This job thing, as you start to get back on your feet properly, as you start to sort of be able to fight back a little bit, then she will leap forward.
No. She'll what?
She will leap forward. She'll move forward energetically to re-establish the bond between you two.
Okay.
People think depression is infectious. It's not. But they can't explain to them it's not.
It's really, really hard for me not to be so incredibly hurt by them. It's hard for me to conceive that people just don't understand. Therefore, forgive them, you know.
Exactly. But as there becomes less to understand, it becomes easier to forgive.
Yeah.
And you've changed, and you're going to carry on changing. But the more you change, the less there is to forgive, because there is less for them not to understand.
Yeah. It's so hurtful, though, Alan, because I feel like my life was ruined because of this.
Our life starts the moment we get out of bed, and it stops the moment we go back to bed and sleep. That when we're asleep, we are not alive, and our life starts every morning, or if you're a shift worker, around about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. That's the truth. When we are awake and when we are in the world, we are active, is when we can make things change. So seriously, one night, you're going to go to bed and get up and realize you got your life back. And it's not the life you had, it's the life you are going to make for yourself.
One day I won't wake up with all this pain inside of me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, during the day, I don't know what to do with all the feelings of grief and sadness that just come up out of nowhere. It's just hard. I feel like, you know, I'm carrying my past around and can't figure out how to get rid of it.
Well, do what everybody else does. If you don't know what to do with it, put it back and leave it. Walk away from it. Make a compost heap. Seriously.
Make a what? Make
a compost heap. A compost heap. Just let it rot away.
I don't know what you mean. Suddenly I'll be walking down the street and I'll get welled up with grief or sadness from nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same thing that the anxiety does. It comes up physically from nowhere.
You see, to me, Pat, that's normal. I know it's not mine. I know I'm picking it up from somewhere, and I just let it go. I know it's not mine. And in a way, I suggest to you that this could be part of your process of healing, where you just let it go because it is no longer who you are or no longer wish to be. It's a memory of a time that's gone by.
Yeah.
You know? This is, I know you're heading to an interactive point of your process where it's literally you being strong enough to stand back and look at yourself and think, no, I don't need to do that anymore.
Okay.
I don't need to buy into that. I don't need to dig a hole for myself. I can go round the hole. No.
Okay.
This is the tricky bit. This is the really, really tricky bit, because you can see a way forward. You want to run towards it, and yet it's a minefield right now.
Right.
So we've got to be careful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can I ask you, my sister, how is her health?
I'm not getting any issues or problems that I need to comment on.
Is she really happy with her life?
She's making the best of it.
Yeah.
No, she's not happy. She would prefer things to have been a lot different in many ways.
Right.
You included. She would have preferred it if you had been well. That you and her could have been sisters all the time.
Yeah.
Right, especially right now, because she's going through things herself. You know, it would have been nice to have had some support. But her health is okay. Her mental health is okay.
Her physical health?
physical health is okay too.
What is she going through?
She's worried about you. She's worried about the future. She's worried about getting older.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day of telling her that I can see where was I so much in my life, and it makes me wonder where was I for her, and just to acknowledge. But then again,
hey,
the way she's...
Pat,
what?
Be careful. People with depression tend not to think about others. One of the first signs of not being depressed is thinking about other people.
I always think about my family and worry about their health.
Yeah.
Or people that mean something to me.
Well, that should tell you something. No?
Tells me I'm neurotic.
No.
I get
no.
freaked out, scared, and worry.
We all worry about
Can
other
we...
people.
Okay.
I worry about
How's
you.
My...
As soon as you start
How's my...
caring for somebody, you start worrying about them.
Okay. How's my dog, Chance?
Your dog is fine.
Okay.
Your dog can't show you what he's capable of yet, but he soon will.
Okay.
He's part of your support group.
He sure is.
Yeah. And pretty soon he'll get his white coat and stethoscope, and then he can start to do what he's supposed to do. It's, you better
what
get ready
do you
for
mean?
Your ins- He's a therapy dog. He's a therapist for you on the
yeah.
earth plane.
Yeah.
But it's about getting you to the point where you start to, it's like you start to stretch, you know, just re-energizing, bringing yourself back, awakening, and we're nearly there.
Okay.
So, best of luck with the interview today. I'm sure it's going to go fine.
Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Have a good day.
And you, Pat. Thanks, then.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Hello.
Oh, hey, hey, Ellen, it's me.
No, no, it's you. I thought
walking.
It was you again.
Oh. I was just listening. Can't
Fair
get
enough.
Enough of you. All right. Do you get to go home now? Home. You are home, but do you get to hang up your hat a little bit?
I'm going to play one more track, and then if I get a call, I'll take it. If not, I won't. So 646-668-8735. But you got 5 minutes, folks. Talk to you soon, Alina. Okay, then.
Okay, Alan. Do well.
Bye.
Later.
day I spend my time drinking wine, feeling fine, waiting here to find the sign that I can understand. Yes, I am. In the days between the hours, ivory towers, bloody flowers, push the heads into the air. I don't care if I ever know. There I go. Of a broken heart. Every day I spend my time drinking wine, feeling fine, waiting here to find the sign that I can understand. Yes, I am.
Like I said, that's that then. You know, I'm not going to flog a dead horse. There are going to be days like this, and I accept there's going to be days like this. So I own my days when no one rings in. Except the ones that did, the ones who needed it did ring in. So I'm going to call it an afternoon. You lot can call it a day, and the Australians can call it whatever they want. So just before I play out, I'm wondering if everyone has worked, regular listeners have worked out why I've changed the play out song to this one. Yeah. Think about it. Answers on a postcard, please. And there isn't a prize.
No.
so many reasons.